She signals, we head for the edge. And the first man who jumps is a chicken.
All right, so maybe playing a bit of chicken on Capitol Hill. That seems to be a common game lately. The story of total congressional gridlock over tax policy. No big surprise. The Democrats still oppose the Bush-era tax cuts. And many Republicans have pledged never to vote for a tax increase of any kind, even closing loopholes. But we're getting close to the fiscal cliff. The Democrats might change their approach to passing tax legislation. Here to explain, Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. First of all, let's talk about this cliff. We just referred it into in the headlines that's coming. Explain what we're talking about here.
Hi, Celeste. And that little clip, which is a little bit of a joke, but from Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean, is really apt in this case. Two competing visions heading for the cliff. And if they don't find a way out, somebody's going over. You know what? We're all going over. And what we heard Ben Bernanke talking about in the headlines there has got everyone nervous once again. Well, here's what the fiscal cliff is. A whole bunch of major economic tax provisions expiring all at once before the new year, that if they don't fix it, you heard what Ben Bernanke said, it could plunge us into another recession. The Bush tax cuts all expiring, but not just those, a lot of other tax provisions, tens, hundreds of billions of dollars worth, the estate tax, tens of billions of dollars of how we pay doctors under Medicare and Medicaid, not to mention the debt limit is going to expire sometime around the election, maybe right after. They have to do spending bills and the sequester, those enforcement mechanisms way back from last summer from the failed super committee that cut another $1 trillion from the budget if they don't find a way to do some deficit reduction. Those go into effect too and could devastate defense contractors in the defense industry. That's the cliff. That's those two guys in their old-timey cars going right over the cliff in a game of chicken.
All right, but what we've seen before, Todd, is both parties simply sitting there kind of in stasis, pointing fingers at the other. The Democrats saying, look at the Republicans, they're holding up legislation, and the Republicans saying the exact same thing about the Democrats. What's changing in terms of strategy here?
You mentioned something in the intro. Remember back to the debt limit when Democrats said, we want new revenue to make a deal, and the Republicans said, no way, no how, no new taxes, all of the fixes have to come from cuts in spending? Talk about movies. We've seen that movie before and we're seeing it again. But the twist is a little different. Listen to Mitch McConnell this week on the Senate floor.
Democrats are now openly admitting that they plan to wait until this debate reaches full throttle and Americans are panicked about the outcome to do anything because they think it will make it likelier they'll get their way. And if they don't, then so be it. So be it. They're ready to accept the economic and fiscal consequences. They see a crisis coming, and they don't want to waste it.
Now, if that sounds familiar to you, it should.
It does.
Because I want to play you a piece of tape from just over a year ago. Listen to Harry Reid and see if this sounds familiar.
They're willing to risk the strength of our economy just to make a political point. We can't afford to play these political games and trigger a default crisis that will lead to a catastrophe. We can't afford to make unrealistic demands or hold hostage policies that affect real people.
Remember back in the debt limit fight when Republicans
Absolutely.
Were taking hostages and threatening a fiscal calamity just to get their way, and they were willing to let the debt limit go down the drain if they didn't get their way?
Right.
Well, the shoe's on the other foot. Didn't Mitch McConnell sound a lot like Harry Reid sounded a year ago? The Democrats are saying this: hey, if we do nothing, all the Bush tax cuts just expire. We don't have to pass a law to make them expire. They're set to expire on their own. We're fine with doing nothing. If we do nothing, the defense sequester that you guys really don't want to go into effect, that cuts $500 billion from the Pentagon and from defense contractors, we can let that expire too, unless, hey, Republicans, put some revenue on the table. And if you don't do it, we're fine with letting things expire. Let the election decide this. We think we're going to win. The tax cuts expire anyway, and then we can deal later. And that means that the shoe's really on the other foot this time, and Democrats have the same advantage that Republicans had a year ago, and they're using it. Listen to Patty Murray. She's a member of the Senate Democratic leadership, sort of explaining at the Brookings Institution earlier this week how she views Democrats' advantage on this whole fiscal cliff right now.
On January 1st, if we have not gotten a deal, Grover Norquist and his pledge are no longer relevant to this conversation. If the Bush tax cuts expire, every proposal will be a tax cut proposal.
So put some revenue on the table now, and if you don't want to, we're willing to let them expire in the lame duck session after we've had an election, and then we can fight it out then, and then you'll be scrapping for tax cuts. But the Democrats are sort of wearing the Republican pants now.
But what evidence do we have that it could work? I mean, you could argue that the Republicans, you know, stayed stuck to their guns over the debt ceiling and, to a certain extent, got a lot of what they wanted.
Well, that's politics. Who knows if it's going to work? That's one side using extreme leverage over the other and sort of using the threat of a crisis and folding their arms and saying, come to us or we're willing to let the crisis happen. That's sort of what's going on. Now, there is a little bit of evidence now that it is working, Celeste, on Capitol Hill. I want to play you a bit of tape from Lindsey Graham, conservative Republican from South Carolina, but a Republican who's known for protecting the military and for making deals with Democrats when necessary. Lindsey Graham has a proposal now that some people are starting to listen to that he says, look, just a one-year fix, just $110 billion just to avoid those defense cuts. It's too important. Listen to Lindsey Graham.
Let's say corporate jet deductions for 1 year. Let's say that we're going to take that deduction away for 1 year so that we actually can buy fighter jets to protect our troops. I would take the criticism that comes with that.
Now, that's a Republican saying.
That's kind of an amazing statement there, actually. When you think about the you know, disagreements in Washington, it's amazing to hear Lindsey Graham say that.
Not just corporate jets, which is kind of an easy one. We can raise fees on oil companies getting leases and raise revenue that way, sell some public lands. Basically, what he's saying in a little bit of a nice way is this is too important to cut the troops. The enforcement mechanisms are in place. And yes, I'm willing to be the Republican that proposes raising some taxes. This is not the big fiscal cliff. This is just for 1 year to get out of the debt, the defense cut sequester, to prove also that we can make the bigger deal. And Lindsey Graham says, if we can't make the little $100 billion one-year deal, we have no chance of making the big deal, and then over the fiscal cliff we go. So there are some glimmers that the strategy of the stare-down might be working a little bit in Democrats' favor. They don't have a deal yet, but there's one Republican who says, we can raise some taxes to get out of part of this at least for a year.
Our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.